So today, as I was fellowshipping in intercession and prayer with my local community, the Lord brought to my remembrance a dream that I had had. And in this dream, He was reminding me that we do not just pray from a place of faith, hope, love. We pray from a place of authority and dominion and jurisdiction that He has given us. So I hope it blesses you. So here was a dream. So in the dream, I moved here to this new area on the Treasure Coast. And in 2020, I had a dream. I had an inquiring of the Lord. Lord, where would you have me to live? I need property. I want to build. I want to move somewhere beautiful. I want to live somewhere nice. You know, where is the place that you have for me? And so He gives me this dream. And in the dream, I was driving in a car, riding in the car in the passenger seat. And there was a man driving me, and I couldn't see his face. It's like his face was just faceless, right? But it was a man, and I knew he was there to drive me. And he was driving me past this property. So out of my passenger side window, I see all this green, lush land, just like I'm passing by it fast. It's just going past. And then I heard a voice in the dream say, it's zoned for a church. And then in that moment, I was pulled up and out to an aerial view. And I could see that this property that I was looking at was alongside this river here where I live. And it was a map. It was like this visual aerial view of this area, this entire area. And that was the end of the dream. So, of course, as you know, I figured, well, this is where God is showing me. So I went and started to venture out to find land that He wanted me to purchase for my house, to build a house, or to a house that was already built that was zoned for a church. So I started my journey there and haven't found it to this day. But as I was fellowshipping with my community of believers, in intercession for this area, for this Treasure Coast, He brought this dream back to my remembrance, but with a new understanding that what He was saying was, this Treasure Coast is zoned for a church. It's His. It's His. And so as we intercede for the Treasure Coast, for everyone up and down this area to be saved and to receive Jesus as their Messiah, He is saying that this is land that is His, that has been given unto us. So I looked up the meaning today. I looked up the meaning of zoning codes. What does this mean? You know, what does the internet have to say about that? And what it says is land use regulations that define what is allowed to be built and where it can be built. Municipalities use zoning codes to separate land under their jurisdictions into zones of allowable development. And so I was like, wow, Lord, what you are saying is that this Treasure Coast has been zoned for a church, your ecclesia, and therefore you have determined its usage. You have established regulations that define what is allowed to be built and what is not allowed and where it can be built. And you have separated this land under your jurisdiction, and you define and determine what is allowable, what allowable developments are able to be built through us, through your people. You have given us that authority as we exercise, not just in prayer, not just to take land and to establish His name and to establish His laws through the power of His Holy Spirit and His beliefs, but not just through faith and hope and, of course, love for this land and this people that He's given us, but through actual jurisdiction, legal zoning laws that He has established for us. So I hope this encourages you. As I was also inquiring in the Word, because I said, okay, so where are the scriptures for this? And he took me to Jeremiah 32, 7 and 7 through 14. And in this it says, "And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, your uncle, is coming to you saying, buy for yourself my field, which is at Anathoth, for you have the right of redemption to buy it. Then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the guard, according to the word of the Lord, and said to me, buy my field, please, that is at Anathoth, which is in the land of Benjamin, for you have the right of possession, and the redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. I bought the field, which was at Anathoth, from Hanamel, my uncle's son, and I weighed out the silver for him, 7 shekels of silver. I signed and sealed the deed and called in witnesses and weighed out the silver on the scales. Then I took the deeds of purchase, both the sealed copy containing the terms and conditions and the open copy, and I gave the deed of purchase to Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the sight of Hanamel, my uncle's son, and in the sight of the witnesses who signed the deed of purchase, before all the Jews who were sitting in the court of the guard. And I commanded Baruch in their presence, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, this sealed deed of purchase, and this open deed, and put them in an earthenware jar, that they may last a long time. And thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards will again be bought in this land." So, and it goes on to say, "After I had given the deed of purchase to Baruch the son of Neriah, then I prayed to the Lord, saying, ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Who shows loving kindness to thousands, but repays the iniquity of fathers into the bosoms of their children after them. O great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name." And I could just go on and on and read and read. But the point of this scripture was, this was entitled, Buying Land in a War Zone. And I feel like many of us are in a war zone. We're living in places where the enemy has been allowed to build up different structures to different gods. And we also are in a spiritual war. And so this is a reminder to us that we pray from a position of faith, but we also pray from a position of authority. We have been given the legal right to determine what's built. And just as Isaiah says, we have been given the ability to tear down and to build up because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. And he has given us the power, through the power and the favor and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to speak the word so that it shall be established in the land, and to go forth and to step foot. Every place that the sole of our foot is tread upon has been given unto us, just like Joshua states. And we have the authority to pull up and to plant, to tear down and to build up. And so I hope this blesses you and gives you that extra understanding that God is saying that this land that he has given us, wherever you are, wherever you find yourself today, you may not be on the Treasure Coast, you may be somewhere else in the country or in the world, but God has planted you there and he has given you the authority as you inquire of him and just ask, Lord, for the land, he will give it unto you. So Lord, I just right now, I say, we take our rightful authority in the name of Jesus and we declare that the land that he has given us is zoned for him. It is zoned for your church, Lord, your ecclesia. And we right now in faith pull down and tear down, and we plant and build up any structure, Lord, that is in your name only and glorifies you. So we say yes, we say we will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Upon the Lord this morning, my heart is breaking for his lost sheep. Jesus was a shepherd, and he had compassion for the lost, and because of that compassion, he went out to where the sheep were lost. Even we hear a parable about the one lost sheep. He had 100 sheep, and the 99 were safe in the sheepfold, in the pen. But the one had wandered off, right? And Jesus left the 99 that were safe, the shepherd that was leading the flock, that was tending to the flock, feeding the flock, and protecting the flock. He left the flock to go to find the one that was out there, lost in the wild, among the wolves and the coyotes. And so my heart's cry today is for those who are in a position of leadership, those shepherds that have been given that authority and that gifting to shepherd. Please leave the flocks. Please go find the lost ones, because they're not strong enough. They're weak. They've wandered off. They've gotten distracted by something that lured them away. Whether it was a wolf or whether it was just something shiny. They lost. They took their eyes off the shepherd. And they wandered off in search of something better or something good, only to find themselves lost. And they can't find their way back. They're not strong enough. They're not strong enough. They don't know the way. And then the way back is scary, you know? So they just hide where they are. They hide out there in the wilderness, in a cave or among other animals potentially that they have found to be seemingly safe. So that's where they're comfortable, and that's where they want to stay, because they don't understand that what they've put their faith and trust and hope in is not the good shepherd, but something else made to look like something strong and something safe, but it isn't. And fear is in the way. Fear is in the middle of that place where they are, in their lost place now, and where they used to be, or where they're meant to be, where they were created to be. Fear stands in that place, in the gap. And so we are to be the ones that are to stand in that gap. We're supposed to go out from that place of safety. Those who have been called to shepherd the sheep, to go find that lost sheep. That lost sheep isn't going to come and find you. They're just not. And so I ask you, Lord, right now, that you would give us fresh compassion for the lost sheep. Last night, as I was praying at my house of prayer, the Lord was stirring me up. Compassion, compassion. And so I looked up the meaning of the word, and it says having the desire to want to share in another person's suffering. And in fact, the word compel is in the definition. We're being compelled to go forth and to share in another person's suffering. That's what compassion is. It's a compelling forth. It's something that comes from within that compels us forth, propels us forth, right? That is the power of the Holy Spirit in us that drives us to go forth in compassion to help another who's suffering, to join them where they are in that lost place where they've wandered off, right? So we see a lot of verses where Jesus first had compassion on the people. And then in Luke, we see how he was able to raise the dead, raise the son of a widow, as he was compelled to go forth into that place of suffering with her, to touch that casket and to speak life and to say to that one who was asleep, who was dead, arise, arise, for thy light has come, right? We see in Isaiah, the Lord has given us these powerful scriptures to speak life so that we can raise those who are asleep. Awake, sleeper, and arise to life so that we can speak again. That was the first thing that the man who was arisen from the dead in the book of Luke, the first thing he did was speak. You know, we give them back their voice when we come to where they are. Touch that place, that box of death that's holding them from being whole and being filled with life. And so, and later on, and also in Matthew, we see Jesus, he would have compassion on the people and he would feed them. And this is a picture in the natural, but also a picture in the spiritual. When you have compassion on a person, right? That's the beginning. And you then feed them the bread of life. And we see also where Jesus had compassion and he healed them of their blindness, of their infirmity, of their oppression of the devil. God gives us compassion first. So if we're not out there and we're not going to where these people are, this is something we need. So Lord, right now we ask for compassion to flow. We release compassion. We bind up the spirit of fear that would stand in the way. The spirit of fear is standing in the way of that lost sheep getting back to the sheepfold. But I think sometimes it stands in the way of the shepherd going out to find that lost sheep. Just think if that shepherd is in a place of fear, they're not going to be able to step out and leave the 99. You know, what if a wolf comes in and, you know, starts to like try and prey upon this 99 sheepfold, these in the sheepfold who are safe and established, that are being fed and are being protected. And then, you know, so a lot of shepherds won't leave that place, but it's always fear that's holding us back. It's fear that's holding us back from going forth to find those lost sheep and to have that compassion upon them, to bring them back to life, to bring them back to that place of life, to speak life and to carry them, you know, those sheep that are out there, you know, it's not that they're just wandering around in strength and, oh, they just need a little prodding, you know, a little push, and then they'll run on back to the sheepfold.
That's not the way that Jesus told the parable. The parable was Jesus going out and carrying that sheep back for whatever reason. Maybe the sheep was weak. Maybe the sheep had a wound and couldn't walk. Or maybe the sheep didn't want to leave where he was. Maybe the sheep, the little sheep, the little lost lamb, wanted to stay because he didn't understand. You know, a lot of us have been in that place where maybe one of our pets have wandered off. Specifically, I can say cats. You know, cats are really famous for wandering off and then turning feral, right? You know, it's almost like they suddenly start to think and believe that this is a place where they want to be. This is where they would rather be, because they don't understand the safety. So then you bring them back home. You know, you have to kind of grab them and you got to carry them back to their home. And sometimes it even takes a few days for them to reacclimate to the safety of the house. You know, you see them wanting to get back out again. What are you doing? It's not safe out there. There's danger out there. You have to hunt for your food. And there's not good shelter out there. You have to hide under a shed and be cold, you know? So why are you struggling to get back out, you know? This is where you are. This is where you're protected, provided for. You have your food. You have your warm bed. You're safe. You know, you don't have to constantly be looking around and staying up all night to protect yourself and to remain safe from predators. But yet they still try and get back to that place because that's a place of familiarity. And this is what they think. That's what they think is better, because then they look at the house and they look at you and they say automatically, well, I'm not free here. You know, this is restricting me. I want to be free and I want to be out there where I can protect myself and provide for myself. And so I feel like that's a really good analogy of the lost, you know. And, you know, we always want to think of it as the sheep was wounded, and that definitely is the case. The sheep was weak, and that's definitely the case. But the little lost lamb might not have wanted to go with the shepherd. He had to carry him. And I've heard a lot of teachings even that tradition of the shepherd and the sheep would be that they would actually break one of the legs. I don't know. I hate to think of that, you know, but it's almost like they have to, you know, why would they have to break the leg of the sheep? If the sheep was willing to come back and willing to stay, and, you know, this sheep wouldn't happen again as long as I pick the sheep up. And oh, of course, I'm going to bring them back into the sheepfold and they're going to be here with me and they're never going to leave again, because they're going to see what the effects were and how hard that was to be out there on their own. But no, you know, they have that tendency within them and that potentially a rebellious spirit. You know, we see that some of us have come out of the womb, you know, with a rebellious spirit. We can see it and we can and identify that and witness to that, maybe even relate to that. I know I sure can. And it's like, it's something that's in us that God will use for his glory. You know, that wild, creative, strong, like adventurous, willing to go, willing to do, you know, spirit. But, you know, when it's not purified in Christ, it's a very oppositional and defiant and like, you know, not wanting to be tied down and restricted kind of spiritual thing that's operating, that leads us into places that we do not belong. And so, you know, God loves those little lost sheep. They're the ones that he wants to use for his glory, you know, raise them up to be leaders too, because they've been out there and they know what's out there. So, Father, I'm just asking you right now that you would stir up within us compassion just like Jesus had, because the Lord Jesus, you are within us through the power of your Holy Spirit. So we come right now into alignment with that desire that you have. We surrender to your spirit. We surrender to your desire that you have within you, that is in us through the indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit, which is the Lord. The Spirit is the Lord. And we surrender to that compassion, Lord, and we just say, have your way in this area. We surrender and we release the flow of compassion. Give us more. We ask for more. More compassion for the lost. And we bind up that spirit of fear. We take our authority, because your word says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So Lord, we ask for those spiritual attributes of your Holy Spirit to flow more right now. Just come, Lord, come. Just have your way. Have your way. Let love come and increase. Let power come and increase. Let sound mind come and increase. And give us the strength to go forth with our rod and our staff, and to rescue the one that's lost, who can't find their way out from our safe place of the sheepfold, to go forth in faith and love. Compel us, Lord, with compassion for your lost ones. In Jesus' name, I ask and pray. Amen.